Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Well, the story is very familiar. It is perhaps along with what? The Annunciation, the birth of Jesus, the crucifixion. Perhaps one of the most depicted scenes in the Bible. Jesus ascending into heaven. And the Bible tells us that he ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we're going to have to explore that in the course of this conversation as we study a great ascension, him up through endless ranks of angels. On this Friday afternoon, May the 14th, with Pastor Will Whedon, he goes up. And up is important, very important, not only in the Bible, but in understanding the ascension, but also he sits down. The old theologians called it the session of Christ, the sitting of Christ. What does it mean that he is seated at the right hand of God? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us for the next hour to discuss the hymn Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels is Pastor Will Whedon, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's a joy to be with you, especially to talk about this hymn and this feast.
Before we get to the hymn, let's talk about the day, the feast. Why do you think it is that fewer and fewer congregations observe the day ascension? Maybe they'll observe it on a Sunday, off the day, but the day, the feast itself of Christ's ascension.
I got to be honest with you. I haven't a clue what on earth is driving pastors and people that they would not be celebrating on this day. Well, you know, certainly when Rome in this country, the Roman Church orders it that it be celebrated on the Sunday following the actual day of the ascension. And maybe that has a bigger influence than we'd like to admit. But there's just something about the importance of this day. You know, in the Creed itself, the events of this day are the you said he sat at the right hand of the Father, but it's actually he sits. It's the only one, the only part of the Creed that's in the present tense. It's the thing that's happening now. And sitting at the right hand of the Father and governing all things, and that's the great joy of this feast. And I can't for the life of me figure out how it's managed to slip so far. Our good friend Dr. Al Culver has a fabulous article on the topic in the A Lutheran Witness, where he calls it Ascension, the Forgotten Festival. How sad that we forget this festival of all the festivals of the church here, that it should be relegated to so few churches even having service. And like my church has service, but you know, it's a pretty slim crowd that comes out to celebrate the feast. It's nothing like what we have on Christmas Day. But shoot, this is what Christmas Day was all about, that humanity would be lifted and seated at the side of Godhead. I mean, it's the point of it all.
The bookend, if you will, to the incarnation. Not that the incarnation ceases.
Right.
But the point of the incarnation.
The point of the incarnation. Yeah. It's the point behind it all. That God would, this was the unbelievable thing. You know, why would God take on human flesh and blood? He did it so that human flesh and blood could inherit everything that is his. So that he could give to human flesh and blood a glory that is his. I mean, that's just, when you stop and think about it, it's mind-blowing. It's one of the greatest joys of the entire church here.
This hymn that we'll look at stanza by stanza, Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels, what can you tell us about its author?
Jaroslav Vajda was one of those really blessed Slovak Lutherans. And the Slovaks, they are a world unto themselves. I was blessed a vicar with the Slovaks. And, we have people in the Missouri Synod who get, very sentimental about our old hymnal, as they call it, the TLH, the Lutheran hymnal. And they think, the Slovaks are like that too, only their hymnal was written, about three centuries earlier, called the Tranosias by Yuri Tranovsky. And it's just replete, full of these wonderful, typically short, short stanza, but many stanzas, hymns. And Yaroslav Haida was raised with this singing culture. I mean, when I vicared at this Slovak church, they started Slovak service, and I'm telling you, those 25 Slovaks sang louder in church than all of the hundreds that were there for the English service. I mean, we couldn't even begin to match the joy of their music and their song. And he just sort of he pulls together everything that's really great about Slovak Lutheranism, and he pours it out into his English compositions. And so that means they're generally going to be rather short stanzas. They're not going to be real long. And they're going to be very visual, very, very, you're going to see as the hymn unfolds the events happening before you.
Let's look at the first stanza of Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels, which is already kind of a stunning visual in itself, mm-hmm. if you mm-hmm. picture the ascension beyond that bright cloud where Jesus disappeared. Up through endless ranks of angels, cries of triumph in his ears, to his heavenly throne ascending, having vanquished all their fears, Christ looks down upon his faithful, leaving them in happy tears.
Up through endless ranks of angels, cries of triumph in his ears, to his heavenly throne ascending, having vanquished all their fears, Christ looks down upon his faithful, leaving them in happy tears.
That stanza one of Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels is performed by the Concordia Seminary Chorus. Okay, take us into the visual, and then one might say he's taking some poetic license with the account.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I know that you had Dr. Nagel on your show yesterday, and so I would like to in tribute to Dr. Nagel, a quote from the man who got him to be the chaplain at Valparaiso University, O.P. Kretzmann. Kretzmann, it was like Dr. Nagel, was a master of words. And I would just like, if you hear what Vida does in this piece, he does exactly what Kretzmann does when he writes. Can I read this? It's mm-hmm. not terribly long. Now he was going home. In seven words, the years of labor and sorrow end. While they beheld, he was taken up. There were no bells and banners on earth, but surely the trumpets on the other side sounded as they'd never sounded before. Surely the chiming golden bells of heaven sang their welcome, and the angel choirs intoned the song of the throne. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength. On the anvils of God, the nails had been forged into the scepter of a king. He was taken up. The angel hosts sweep to either side, leaving the way clear to the eternal light that no longer blinds the eyes of us who stand gazing after him. He leads a procession which comes from the ends of time and space, all the harvest of all the white fields the world has ever known, the pilgrims of the night who come at last to the dawn of an everlasting day. He was taken up, the child of the manger, the praying heart on the starlit lanes of Galilee, the hunger in the wilderness, the weariness of the Sychar well, the tears of the garden and the hill, the thirst of the cross, all over now. The robes of transfiguration, once momentary, now clothe him forever, and angels and archangels sound the great doxology of his waiting church. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. An old story, perhaps too old for us to do more than glimpse its glory, and yet we ought to remember it more clearly. It was the solemn moment in the story of God and man when the visible Christ became the invisible Christ. From that hour, everything concerning him became visible only to the eyes of faith. The final demarcation in this world between those who believe and those who refuse to believe was now clear. Men can say that all this is not true and use the mind of man to reject the mind of God. Or they can know that God once walked among them, and that they now have a friend in heaven who knows all that earth and time and pain can do to man. The ascension did not take Jesus away. It brought heaven near. In the realm in which he now reigns, time and space have no meaning. There is no up and down, no near and far, no darkness and no distance in the world of faith. He's as near as yesterday's prayer, today's joy, and tomorrow's sorrow. His homecoming has made heaven a home for us who still walk far from home. Wherefore stand we gazing into heaven? Our momentary task is here. But through the slow dimming of the years, we see the lights of home, the evening lights tended by the pierced hand of him who has gone to prepare a place for us. Is there a better way to live or to die? All that we have to do now is believe and follow. Is that glorious or what?
Where do you find this stuff?
You really don't want to get me started on that, because this is a particular book that I have been after CPH. I've talked to several people there that they need to republish this. It's theirs. They own the copyright on it. It's from the collection called The Pilgrim. And that's just one piece. It's all like that throughout the whole book.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Just fabulous. But, I mean, do you see how he did the exact same thing that Vaida does in the hymn? The fun part of Ascension Day is to imagine it on the other side. Okay, you see him taken up in the cloud. What is it like when he brings humanity home to God at that moment? What is it like? And the hymn is actually, it uses poetic imagination. It does. But it is based on a couple scripture passages that are sort of describing this from heaven's side.
Well, let's take a break and let's go to those passages when we come back. The ascension from the heaven's perspective, if you will. It's part of what we're getting in this great hymn, Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels. Our guest in this hour on this Friday afternoon, the 14th of May, Pastor Will Wheaton. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We'll get to the passages, Ascension from God's Perspective, right after this.
For Christ-centered, cross-focused worship and preaching, come to St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. This is Pastor Charles Henriksen inviting you to join us on Sunday mornings for divine service at 9 o'clock and Bible class at 10:15. St. Matthew's is located in the town of Bon Terre, about a half hour south of St. Louis. For more information, visit us online at stmatthewbt.org. That's stmatthewbt.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Check out the new Issues, Etc. YouTube video, A Cloud of Witnesses.
What went for Mary, the angel speaks in her ear and changes who she is precisely what happens to every Christian. The Lord speaks and he changes you.
James is a great example to us of sober-minded churchmanship.
The cross looms over all of John's ministry. It's about the cross, the Lamb of God.
We see in Nicholas his love of Jesus Christ acting out in mercy for his neighbors, and we see a role model there that we can imitate.
The church, when she sets the day aside to remember St. Elizabeth, is remembering this shining light of benevolent charity and humility.
It's not a popular position, you know, to stand for true doctrine, and yet that's what Ambrose does.
You can watch A Cloud of Witnesses, our new YouTube video, under the support page at issuesetc.org. Historic, authentic Christian radio. Issues, etc.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, May the 14th. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're looking at the hymn Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels. We've been through stanza one, stanza two here in a moment. We will hear the entire thing at the end of our conversation. You can also find the text at our website, issuesetc.org. You're going to take us into some of the passages that are undergirding this view of the ascension that we get in Vitus hymn.
Right, right. Daniel, of course, is great for looking into the mysteries of heaven. And, you know, there's a lot in that book that leaves you scratching your head. But what are the more clear visions of it? He sees in chapter 7, verse 9, we hear, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment. The books were open. And, you know, just when you think, oh, wow, okay, so it's the day of judgment, right? And then here's the great judgment. Remember, Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. So I saw in the night visions, verse 13, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. With the clouds, a cloud hid him from their view. There came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. You know, this is the heavenly side of the ascension. And what Daniel gives us there, the book of Revelation unpacks a little further when in chapter 5, well, remember the vision starts really in 4, where again he sees God sitting upon his throne. It's described maybe not quite as terrifying. But then there's this scroll thing in chapter 5, you know. And no one is found worthy to open the scroll, to unseal. What does history mean? What is life about? What is the meaning of life? You know, no one can explain it until chapter 5, verse 6, and between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the world. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people to God from every tribe and nation, language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. And then, you know, all creation gets into singing the song, you know, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And everybody falls down before the Lamb saying, amen, amen. And so you get here, again, the picture of what it's, you know, the glimpses of what it was like in heaven when our Lord Jesus returns triumphant from all that the Father sent him to do, bringing humanity back in his own person to God and to the throne of Godhead, exalting it, putting it there.
I have a question about one of these lines in the first stanza, where it says, and it's interesting that he puts it this way, having vanquished all their fears.
Isn't
he's making
amazing
reference to the disciples. What does that mean?
Well, the big question would be, when we're thinking of the disciples of any time and any place, what is it that the disciples are afraid of? And big thing that the disciples are afraid of course, is death. Well, here he is on the other side of death and shown in a body that's never going to fall apart again, totally beyond death, shining in glory. So nothing to be afraid of death. What's the other thing you can be afraid of? You can be afraid of condemnation. But there he is. When he comes back to the disciples on Easter, does he speak the word of condemnation to them? Does he say, Peter, why did you deny me? Why did you all run away? Where were you? No. That's why Paul could cry out in Romans 8. Verse 1, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so if you don't have death to worry about and your sin is covered by this one who is here before you, all your fears are vanquished. But you're going to notice that they come back in a later stanza.
Let's look at stanza 2 of Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels. Death destroying, life restoring, proven equal to our need, now for us before the Father, as our brother, intercede. Flesh that for our world was wounded, living for the wounded, plead.
Death destroying, life restoring, proven equal to our need. Now for us before the Father, as our brother, intercede. seed fled for the world was wounded, living for the wounded plead.
Will, what does it mean, death destroying, life restoring?
There is the flesh right in front of you that died, went into death, and exploded it from the inside out, literally blasted a hole right through death, so that his death wound ended up being the wound of the destruction of death itself. If you can, I mean, this sounds like a horrible analogy, but it's the best I can do on the top of my head at the moment. They think about like our Lord as a terrorist, if you will, a terrorist on death. And he's going in there and he's going to literally explode death. He's got a bomb that's going to explode death. And the bomb that he has that's going to explode death is his own immortal flesh and blood, which he will take right down into death's stinking gullet. And with it, blast a hole right through death that will never, ever be able to close again. The thing in that stanza that always really grabs me, though, is this picture of Christ as intercessor. He is the one who is on our side and praying for us. We see that in a couple of passages. First of all, we think about, you know, flesh that for our flesh was wounded. Think about flesh that for our world was wounded in Hebrews 2, verse 14. Since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So he offers his flesh and blood to set them free. And once having set them free, once he is there at the Father's right hand, what does he do? Well, Romans 8, you know, Paul's going through, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. And then he adds the beautiful words, who is to condemn? Verse 34, 8:34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And when you think about it, you think, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what to pray about this or that. You can stop and you can have such peace by thinking, I don't know what to pray on this. But the Spirit, of course, is praying within me with groans too deep for words, as Paul says elsewhere. But also at the Father's right hand, there is one now who is living literally to intercede for me.
The picture here, I never saw this before in that passage you just read and in the stanza here, that is from the disciples' perspective again. They fear condemnation, but who's sitting on the judgment throne? Who is the judge? It's Christ. He's not only going to already told them what the verdict is,
yeah,
but he's actually pleading with the Father on their behalf. He's constantly their advocate praying. And
yeah.
Judge.
Yeah, yeah. He literally is their advocate. So that, you know, it's significant when he says in John, in the farewell discourse, he says, I will send you another paraclete, another advocate, another. It's the Spirit's going to advocate for us too, but it's another because he's the first one. He is first and foremost primary. That's why John says in 1 John 2 that, you know, we have if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And also, we don't want to lose the passage in Hebrews 7. And there in Hebrews 7:25, we hear, consequently, he is able, because he has a life that never ends, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. Since, again, listen to what he says, he always lives to make intercession for them. So, literally, Christ's life, when people picture him ascended in heaven, gone far, out of the way, whatever, you know, they're totally missing it. I mean, he is at the right hand of God. And at the right hand of God, which isn't a place, of course, but, you know, a position of power, in that position of power, he is constantly pleading for all, for you, for me, for every hearer out there. Christ is praying. I mean, is that not a wonderful thought? When we say to somebody, oh, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? And we're always comforted by that. And that is a wonderful thing inside the body of Christ. But when we do that, we're only doing what Christ himself does all the time. He is the intercessor. He's constantly praying for his people.
What does he ask of the Father? With only about a minute here, what does he ask? What is his intercession with the Father?
You could put it in a nutshell. His big intercession is, Father, whatever it takes for you to get them here with me, to see and enjoy this with me now, bring them home. That is, and you can say that a thousand ways. You can say that as, thy will be done. You can say that as, hallowed be thy name. you can say that, even as give them their daily bread. But what it all amounts to is, Father, whatever it takes for you to get them here to be with me and enjoy our presence, our joy, our to share the life that is our joy, do it. Bring them home.
When we come back, stanza three of Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels, to our lives of wanton wandering, send your promised spirit guide. Through our lives of fear and failure, with your power and love abide. Welcome us as you were welcomed to an endless Eastertide. We'll talk about that endless Eastertide. And can it be? Pastor Whedon has painted such a beautiful picture of Christ's welcome on the heaven side of the ascension. Could it be that there awaits us an equal welcome when we arrive? That there will be rejoicing in heaven, even as there was rejoicing when Christ arrived after his work was completed, raising humanity to God's right hand? Could it be that that awaits us, even us, too? We'll find out right after this.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is a devotional resource called Stark's Prayer Book. You'll find prayers for patience, strength, sickness, thanksgiving, dying, and more in Stark's Prayer Book. This devotional resource costs $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Stark's Prayer Book.
Historic, authentic, Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An analysis of President Obama's executive order on abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Abortion was at the heart of the debate over health care reform. In fact, the primary reason the bill passed was Obama's pledge to sign an executive order prohibiting federal funds from being used for abortion. However, most pro-life leaders consider the order basically worthless. For starters, the order states it does not create any enforceable law. In addition, executive orders are easily reversed or superseded by legislation. Furthermore, the law seems likely to increase abortions by providing insurance companies the option to offer abortion policies and funding to clinics that perform abortions.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
To our lives of wanton wandering, send your promised Spirit guide. Through our lives of fear and failure, with your power and love abide. Welcome us as you were welcomed to an endless Eastertide.
Stanza three of the Ascension Hymn, Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels. It's Friday afternoon, May the 14th. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest here on Issues Etc., pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, as we study this hymn. Let's talk about that third stanza. What stands out to you?
Throughout the farewell discourse in John's Gospel from chapter 14, really 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is prepping the disciples for the time that his visible presence is withdrawn from them, and they will be receiving a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, who is, again, we said earlier, another advocate, another helper, another comforter, whom Jesus says, exalted to the Father's right hand, I will send him. He says, so he says, you know, it's his children, it's good it's good for you that I go away. And, you know, the kids are like, it's when the parents spanking them and say, I'm doing this for your good. They're like, no, it doesn't feel that way. Sure, it didn't feel that way to the disciples with the thought of how, you know, what do you mean we're not going to see you anymore? We're not going to touch you anymore. I mean, it doesn't, how can we be comforted in that? He's like, guys, it's great because I'm going to the right hand of the Father. And from there, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit upon you. And he will be such a blessing to you, because he's going to give the gift of faith to you. He's going to give you the gift of perseverance. He's going to get you through. It'll be his job to keep you glued to me and to bring you home to where I have gone. And that's the beauty of the gift that he's promised there. I'm also struck in that stanza by the
said the return of fear.
Yeah, the return through our lives of fear and failure. One of the things I love about Lutheran hymnody is it speaks the truth. Jesus did vanquish all our fears. We have nothing that we need to be afraid of, but it doesn't mean we're not afraid. When St. Paul had to write to Timothy and say to him, you know, remember, God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear. Why do you think he needed to say that to Timothy? Could it be because Timothy was afraid and was timid? I think so. Paul was reminding him, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to be afraid because of what your Lord has done for you, the Spirit that he's poured out upon you. But he knew that we fall into those very, very real fears. We know those moments, those times. And then the Spirit comes to bring us the comfort and say, remember where your brother is. Remember where you are headed. Remember that there's nothing on this earth that can separate you from the love of God and Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not trouble, not pain, not all the Romans 8 stuff. It's not going to separate you from his love.
So explain, welcome us as you were welcome to an endless Eastertide.
Isn't that exactly what you started before the break? I mean, can you imagine when you walk into heaven and all the joy bells of heaven are ringing and the angels are shouting and singing and everybody's hooping and hollering because you've arrived? You're like, wait a minute.
That's not, people picture it as... Really? I mean, this is truly how they picture it. It's not just the old cliche of St. Peter standing at the gate, but they picture it as, I'm going to get in by the skin of my teeth.
Right.
And then I'm just going to be some anonymous little spirit bouncing from cloud to cloud, and I won't get an audience with God. I mean, he's going to be off in the distance with the real saints, if there were. And I'll be glad to be there, but only by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah, and mostly I'm glad to be there. That means I'm not in the other place.
Yeah. So correct that.
Yeah, I mean, the picture that Jesus gives is so intimate and personal, and it's very much the case that he says, you know, I have prepared a place for you. You know, you get to heaven to the banqueting table. There's going to be the place there with your name tag on it. You were wanted, welcomed, and expected there. And Jesus is at pains in so many ways to get that across to us. You think about all the, in Luke 15, that's really the point of those three parables in a row of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost sons. And how each one was wanted and welcomed. And over each one, there was a party. There was celebration when the finding of each one. So when we come into heaven, literally, it is the... Jesus said, there is more joy before the angels of God. You know, over a sinner who repents, what then will be the joy of the angels of God when a sinner is brought home? When he gets to see everything that the Lord has prepared for him from before the foundation of the world, then it's all his. And he finds out, I am... You will find out the great truth that you are somebody terribly important because you are sister or brother to the King of the universe. And the angels never forget that. And then they get the joy of serving you.
But we forget it all the time.
Oh, here. We do. We do. And that's why I think one of the most powerful ways that Paul tried to get home the meaning of the ascension was in Ephesians chapter 2. And think about it. I mean, he's writing this to Christians like just like you and I, you know, stumbling along with our daily lives, sinning and grieving and seeking God's forgiveness constantly and wondering what on earth. And then Paul writes, God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Dr. Corby used to love to brag. I say that God brags. I mean, God's going to gonna he's gonna look at look, look look there and say, "Would you look at that, Wilkin? You know what it took me to get him up here? Oh, let me tell you." And he'll be bragging on the grace that was shown in your life and mine and the lives of everybody who's listening as he gathers his family home. But Paul actually puts it in the past tense right now, because the head of the family has been seated and raised and given that place in heaven. We're already seated there with him. Our place is guaranteed in there.
Stanza 4 of Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels. Alleluia, alleluia, O to breathe the Spirit's grace. Alleluia, alleluia, O to see the Father's face. Alleluia, alleluia, O to feel the Son's embrace.
Alleluia, alleluia, O to breathe the Spirit's grace. Alleluia, alleluia, O to see the Father's face.
What do you do with this last one?
Yeah, I remember hearing Vida talk about this hymn, and he said he thinks that's the order we'll literally experience it in. The breathing in of the incorruptible air of heaven, which he says is the Spirit's grace, and you open your eyes, and your eyes will be immediately upon the face of God the Father. You're going to be looking at the one whom no eye can see. You're going to see the one whom no eye can see. You'll be seeing him there before you. And the look on his face as he looks at you is going to forever. I mean, it will transfigure you forever. And in that moment, you will feel someone's arms around you. And it will be the arms of your Savior holding you, saying, "I told you I would get you here. Told you." And so as he ends with that, strong Trinitarian doxology here at the end, it's interesting to me that it's not just praise, praise, praise. It's yearn, yearn, yearn.
That's what I was going to ask you about. This is, we're waiting for this.
Yeah.
And there is something left undone. When we talked with Dr. Nagel yesterday about the ascension, he again and again and again said, Jesus keeps his promises.
Yeah.
He is the one, if he promised it, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And he continually pushed the ascension to where the angels make the promise of his return. It's going to happen. It must happen. Jesus made the promise.
He doesn't lie to us. He's absolutely reliable. And so if he has made that promise to us, we can bank on it. And if we think about it, and so I think it's why it says in the Nicene Creed that we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. To look for, in the sense of to look forward to contemplate and think about, and let the desire for it fill our souls. And when we do, you ever heard the expression, someone's of so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good?
I was just thinking of
that. Yeah, I always think that's such a bogus thing. It's the other way around. It's if you're heavenly minded, for the first time, you actually become of some earthly good. Because all of a sudden, then, it's not, you've seen things in their true perspective. You know that you have a life that can never end. You know that you've been forgiven all of your sins. You can actually then be of some service and good to your neighbor. And you're not thinking about how can I use my neighbor to get brownie points to get God's favor. You're basking in God's favor. You've got it. And so you're yearning, looking forward to that day. And so looking forward to it becoming of some earthly good.
All right. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about the entire hymn. We'll get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts on this great hymn of the Ascension. We started out talking about this being a day that the church is rapidly forgetting. And at the end of less than an hour's conversation so far, I'm marveling that we could overlook it. How could we possibly overlook this day? How could we possibly rob ourselves of the opportunity to sing and to be taught by a hymn like this? And this is just one of many Ascension hymns. When we come back, we're going to listen to the entire hymn. And we'll have one last thought from Pastor Will Whedon on the Ascension. The day is over. It was yesterday. But the Ascension leaves us with that yearning, with that longing for what the Ascension promises us. There's a great other hymn, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. I think it goes by various titles, where it talks about Christ's Ascension God with man is on the throne. And when we view his ascension, even through hymns like this, we by faith behold our own. That's where all this is headed. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy presents its annual Symposium on Catechesis in Waukesha, Wisconsin, June 16th through the 18th. This year's theme, the first article of the Creed. Presentations include catechesis on the first three chapters of Genesis, the fatherhood of God, Christ and creation, atheism, evolution, and the Christian faith and life. Register online at peacesussex.org.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kieschnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, May the 14th. We're looking at the hymn Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels, and we'll hear the entire thing here in just a moment and get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts. But before we let you go, you've been working on a project that has come to fruition, one that you said at the very beginning you didn't care much for. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Stark's Prayer Book. It's an old prayer book, almost 100 years old, and if I'm not mistaken, 300 years old. And it is... really amazing. What's the best thing out of this prayer book? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, when I first started working on it, the thing that just irritated me, I was like, this guy's just stringing scripture together. And I'm working on it more and more, it comes to me, whoa, this guy's just stringing scripture. He's using the word of God to pray. And the brilliance of the way, I mean, he must have been like Luther, having just, you know, the scriptures just simply fluid in his head. And he could just take phrase after phrase and have them collide together in such a beautiful way. By the time you were done, you felt you've not only prayed to God, but you've also been nourished by the Word of God. It happened both at the same time. It's like when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're praying the Word of God as well as asking a prayer. So it is with Stark. I mean, it was an amazing book. Very, very, very good.
Now, when you think prayer book, people, you might think a little tiny book, thin volume. It isn't.
Yeah.
It's a long book. It's got a lot of prayers.
Prayers are long.
Yes. And for Ascension Day alone, it has three prayers, I think two exhortations and something else in there. So your entire day of Ascension could have been spent with Stark's Prayer Book in these prayers. I highly recommend this. Call Concordia Publishing House. Ask them for Stark's Prayer Book, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, tweaked in translation and edited by our own Pastor Will Whedon. You can also find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Your final thoughts on this before we hear the entire hymn up through endless ranks of angels. What should we be listening for here?
To take the very end part with the yearning, and I think that if there's one characteristic of the entire hymn, it is this this yearning that fills it from the very first words up through endless ranks. Christ looks down upon the faithful, leaving them in happy tears. You know, they're joyful, they're sad. They're waiting. The Spirit's coming, and in these days in the church, we sort of relive these experiences again. We wait for Pentecost, which is not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. And it's these days in between, this in between, and that's sort of like a picture of our in between time from the moment of our baptism into Christ into the moment our baptism is completed, and we get to join Christ at that throne. In a way that is deeper, I won't say it's deeper than what we have now. We have it fully now, but we can't see it now. Now we have it only by faith. Then we will have it not only by faith, but by sight. And this hymn teaches us to yearn and ache for that moment. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I am eager to breathe the incorruptible air of the Spirit. I am eager to see my Father's face, who loved me so much as to give his Son into death for me. And I am dying to have those arms wrapped around me and to see the Prince and realize this was for me. It's glorious.
Let's hear the entire hymn, Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels.
Up through endless ranks of angels, cries of triumph in his ears, to his heavenly throne ascending, having vanquished all their fears. Christ looks down upon his faithful, leaving them in happy tears. Death destroying, life restoring, prove them equal to our need. Now for us before the Father, as our brother, flesh that for our world was wounded, living for the wounded plead. To our lives of wanton wandering, send your promise, Spirit guide. Through our lives of fear and failure,
Pastor Whedon, with 1 minute, what is the comfort of having a Savior seated at the right hand of God, ascended on high and coming again?
If he is seated at the right hand of God, we confess that he's the one who is ruling and governing all things for our good, for the well-being of his whole church on earth. And so we're able to receive absolutely everything that comes our way, no matter how hard, how difficult, as a gift from the hand of the one who loves us and who, through that difficulty, hardship, suffering, joy, whatever it is that comes our way, he is preparing us, readying us for that moment when he will take us to himself. It just means, like Paul said, more than conquerors through him who loved us. We literally walk in his triumphant train all the way home to the Father.
Folks, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this week, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. this weekend. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And thanks for listening, and thanks for your financial support. Remember to tell somebody at church this weekend about Issues Etc. as well. Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Will, I must say, I probably came into this interview with never low expectations when you're going to be in the room. But Ascension, Ascension, it's just another day on the calendar. You have so exceeded expectations and so proven me wrong, I can't even express it. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Well, there was a passage that I don't think we talked about explicitly about the Ascension, where Paul writes, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. He led in his train captives. And it's like a terrible analogy, like Santa Claus going up in his flying sleigh, and all the gifts come tumbling out of the back of the sleigh. When Christ ascended on high, it says he led captivity in his train. He led captives out of captivity. And he gave gifts to men. This is why his disciples can rejoice as he's leaving and rejoice for the next 10 days until the Holy Spirit comes and continue to rejoice their entire life, even as the Holy Spirit leads them into all sorts of dangers as they bear Christ's name. This is why they can rejoice at suffering, at being beaten, at the prospect of, and they know it's coming eventually, having to give their lives over in persecution because they bear the name of Christ. These are all gifts. That is amazing to think about this, that there's nothing that comes down out of heaven from Christ who rules all things to his brothers and sisters, to God's children, that is not a gift. Nothing. First of all, we don't earn any of it when we consider those things that we would like to have from him. We earn nothing of it. As Dr. Nagel said yesterday, who are you that God would pay attention to you or listen to your prayers or give you what you want? Who are you to expect God to pay attention anytime you want him to? We are no one. Except Christ has made us his brother. And so God does pay attention. He gives us his undivided attention, but we earn nothing of this. And those things that we don't want from God, the suffering, the troubles, the trials, and life is full of them. Things that we would never choose for ourselves, they come from Christ too. He is still showering gifts down upon us. And he says in that passage that the gifts for Christians have a particular shape to them. He says, they look like apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. The very heart and center of Christ's gifts to us in his ascension, how he rules now is through his word. All of those things have one thing in common, Christ's own word. The apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers. When you go to church this weekend, guess what? You're going to hear Christ speak from the heavenly throne. You're going to hear what he has to say to you. He will show you your sin. He will show you himself, those hands and those feet, and his resurrected body. And he will give that body to you and his blood to eat and drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Guess what's happening? Jesus is reigning. And he's giving you gifts freely. When you hear the pastor proclaim to you that your sins are all forgiven, guess what you're hearing? Christ speaking the verdict over you, a sinner, from the heavenly throne. And it's a verdict that will not change when he comes back as he has promised. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.